On this beautiful fall type morning, a little coolness in the air, kind of showing that we have turned the corner, doesn't it? Well, as we do, look, hey, give somebody a wave. Look around, give somebody a wave, give them a smile. Let them know that that you're happy to be here, that they're happy to be here, that you're happy that each other are here, and that's it. Yeah, don't forget Vicky. You got to wave at Vicky up here. For those that are part of our online audience today, you got Dr. Cazito back there. Be sure to tell him hello. Let him know that that you are kicking out there as well. And if you see other folks along the stream that you know, be sure to greet them along the way as well. Anyway, we're glad that you're here today. We are entering the time of the year that it's a very special time of the year, not only for our church but for many churches essentially around the world today. You know, we're kind of kicking off our Operation Christmas Child project, where we work on the making the little shoe boxes that will go around this world to places where there are children that will receive them that are underprivileged. A lot of these children have never, ever even received a Christmas gift before, but even greater than that, they're going to have the opportunity to receive the gospel message and the opportunity to be able to trust Christ in their heart. And as always, we have some testimonies to share with you. We're going to do that here in just a moment by way of video, so you can get a little bit more of an idea about the effect that these boxes can make, as well as some things that we can do as far as our part here to see God do some incredible things all around the world. So with no further ado, we'll go ahead and start our videos.
I've had a lot of people tell me I'm lucky, but I tell them I'm chosen. My name is Karabo Moretlani. I was born in Lesotho, Southern Africa, and was raised in the villages. When I was about 5 years old, I lost my father, and not long after my father's death, my mother left me at my grandmother's house, and I never saw her for years. So my grandmother became a mother. She taught me a lot of things, including how to read and write, but most importantly, she taught me about God. Loneliness in my life began when I lost my grandma, the woman who raised me. I had to say goodbye to my love, you know, to my grandmother. Then a year after my grandma's passing, my mother also passed away. I was faced with the sad reality of being an orphan, which is something that I dreaded the most. I had a home and a house in the villages, but I had no parents. I was alone. My uncle brought me into his home in the city. It was there in the city that I met a friend, actually, who invited me to a church. There was a truck filled with these shoeboxes. I received a shoebox myself. And I remember that shoebox filled one of the holes in my heart, and that was the hope of having something that belonged to me. I had lost everything, so the gift of the box gave me that hope, this belongs to me, and it really filled my heart. I realized God gave me what I was always in need of. I made a choice to personally seek Him. Today, I have a family, and I'm no longer an orphan. I know I'm chosen. Someone took their time to work hard and to pack my shoebox. And God used them to give me hope and to feel what my heart was in need of. So today, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your heart. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So I'm asking you to go prepare a gift today. Pack a shoebox. Give someone hope and love somebody today. And spread the gospel.
As we consider Operation Christmas Child, consider what it is that that God is asking each and every one of us to do to make a difference in the life of a child, not just because it may be the only gift that they've ever received, but it may be as well the only time that they will have an opportunity to hear the gospel message. So it's not the little shoe boxes. There are things that you can put in them, things that they say not to. There's some material back there on the platform or on the little stand in the narthex that tells you, some ins and outs and packing a box. And then we're also a collection center. We'll be having our in-gathering here in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. I will give you more information on that. But if you pack those boxes, we look forward to what God is going to have the opportunity to do in the lives of those who are actually going to receive them. All right, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning as we begin. Father, as we come to you now, we do so asking that you would help us to be still in your presence. Father, we pray that you will still our hearts, that we might be receptive to your movement in our lives. Lord, each and every one of us individually, as we gather here together today, Lord, we realize that this is corporate worship, but there is an individual aspect of what we do. Father, we pray that you will help us to look into our hearts, that we will hear what the Spirit says to us, that we might be prepared to meet you here. Lord, that we might truly be prepared to hear what you tell us, that we might make adjustments that are going to be to draw us close to you. Father, as always, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you, that today there would be conviction upon their heart, that they might give their heart to you, that they might truly experience eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, right now, we just ask that you would fill this place with who you are, because God, you are able. We are nothing and no one without you. So today, Father, we call upon your name. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I just want to say that video touched my heart. It really makes you think about what you're doing to get those boxes together and to picture that. So I appreciate all those. Put that together, and it's exciting. So thank you for that. Today we're going to start with To God Be the Glory. As I think about, I want to mention we sing a mixture of hymns with the hymns of the faith and the great text of all those. And then we also have praise songs. I was thinking over there on the front pew there, it'd be nice if we just don't get on autopilot as we sing, but we truly think about the words and the hymns and the praise songs as we praise our Lord. Please stand with me and sing. It's hymn number 4 if you want it. 1 for those following along. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Glorify thy name.
sing, How Great Is Our God.
Serve a great God. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be looking at some passages out of Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. Go ahead and turn over there with me. We're going to be looking at some passages today that many of us have probably seen before, but just having a conversation with somebody that I knew, it was a friend of mine. We were talking about this passage. And there was an interesting question that came forth about this passage. Now, I think sometimes from a ministry position, we get to the point where we just kind of take for granted that everybody understands every aspect and every concept of what is taking place. in the passage. And it was ironic that this was not the first time I had heard this from someone. Have you ever been in a position where you have sat back and you have somewhat questioned, it's like, why is God doing this in this particular situation? Yeah, and yeah, then you look at the character or whoever biblically this is talking about, and you're sitting there going, it almost seems like God wasn't fair with what was taking place or with what was going on. And often it's just something small. Often it's just one of those simple little tidbits of information that you didn't actually have or maybe didn't pick up along the way, that when you got it, you were like, oh. Well, today we're going to talk about what I consider to be one of the most interesting characters in the Bible. Now, when we get to this particular passage, and some of y'all have already looked down through it, and you know what it's saying or what it's going to be talking about, and you're like, oh, this is one of the cool chapters. This is where we talk about the talking donkey. Yeah, we're going to talk about Shrek's buddy today, the talking donkey. Well, yeah, we are, but see, here's one of the issues. One of the issues is too many times we get hung up on the talking donkey as opposed to what was really taking place and what was really going on. And we're going to look at that today. I'm going to see how far I get. If I don't get far enough, we'll just live for another day. We'll come back next week and we'll finish up the rest of it. But we're going to look at these particular passages. And Balaam's story is found in the Old Testament, but yet Peter and Jude also mention him by name over in the New Testament. And you can even find him mentioned again in the book of Revelation. So that tells you the importance of what took place in this particular passage. Who is this donkey riding guy who was genuine, and how did his donkey get so smart? You ever thought about that? Now, a lot of us really consider that donkey. You're sitting there going, that's a smart donkey. Yeah, better listen to the donkey. Well, we want to talk a little bit about Balaam as well and how he got where he was. Have you ever considered this? We get into circumstances and we get into situations, and too often we'll get in the middle of something and we sit back and say, how did we get here? How did I get to this particular point in my life? What went wrong? What took place? And remember that a moment ago I said there's times that we will even question. We're going, well, God, I did what you told me to do. I followed your plan step by step. Why am I here? Have you ever been there? Why are we in the circumstances and situations we're in? That's not supposed to happen when I follow you to the T. And then all of a sudden something happens. We realize we weren't really following him to the T like we thought we were supposed to be. And that is exactly what's going on here. With my friend, I had this discussion because the question came up about Balaam. And it was like, Balaam did what God told him to do. Why was he in the predicament that he was in? My answer was simply this. Balaam did not do what God told him to do. And we're going to discuss that in just a moment as well. You will see that. And he sat back and he said, yeah, but the scriptures say that God allowed him to do this. Now, I want us to understand something today. God allowing us to do something and us following God's will are two completely different animals. Now, you'll hear me say it again in a minute, but there is such a thing as the permissive will of God, that God will allow it to happen. Now, hold that thought for just a minute, because I'm going to give you a little bit of background about this account that we're going to look at. And actually, the account is Numbers chapters 22 through 24. Now, obviously, I'm not going to give you all of that. We're going to look at some passages out of Numbers chapter 22. And Israel, what's going on? Israel is camped out on the plain of Moab. And this is nearing the end of the 40 years of their wandering in the wilderness. Now, Balak, now you keep these names straight. Balaam is the guy with the donkey. Balak is the king. All right, now I know they sound, so don't get them mixed up. Balak is a king. He is the king of Moab. And he saw what had happened to other nations in the neighborhood who had stood against Israel. Yeah, God, remember, Israel is God's chosen people. God protected them then. And let me just say this. God is protecting them today. I still believe with all of my heart what the Word says, that when it says those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. Those are God's chosen people. That is valid today. We better be on Israel's side. Enough politics. So essentially, Balak is watching what's going on. He's watching. He has seen how God has taken care of Israel with the enemies. Now, Balak is an enemy, so he's sitting there saying, I need some sort of an upper hand. I got to figure out something. So, yet Balak was scared, so he decides to hire a well-known prophet. Hey, I got this idea. I'm going to go hire this well-known prophet. Who's that well-known prophet? Balaam. Oh, this guy is, I mean, his name is infamous in the circles. He says, I know what I'll do. I'll just go hire Balaam to come down and curse Israel. That's what I'll do. Now, if you really think about it, prophet and curse Israel are like oil and water. They don't mix. Okay? So, yeah, I'm giving you the background to the passages that we're going to look at today, just so you got the idea and the understanding of what's taking place and what's going on. So he wants Balaam to come and curse or put this curse against Israel so that the Moabites could actually defeat them and get them away from them, get them out of their backyard. We don't want them anywhere around. Now, this is where Balaam starts to look like he's a real, real man of God. Now, because leading into the passage we're going to look at, he took the time to go ask God what to do. That sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Well, brothers and sisters, if you got an issue, pray about it. That's a good thing to do. You go to the Lord, you pray about what in the world is going on, you pray about what it is that God wants for you to do, and then you listen when God instructs you in what to do. And believe it or not, Balaam actually did that to start with. The men come down to him. The men say, now remember, the king, Balak, has sent men with some money down to talk to Balaam. And he's wanting Balaam to come put a curse on him. Balaam goes and prays about it, says it's not a good idea, goes back to the men and says, nah, that's not going to happen. So what do? They go back to the king and say, look, our heavyweight prophet is not going to do what you've asked me to do. He is not going to curse Israel. Did Balak the king give up? No, he did not. What he did was he says, I tell you what, get more money. Get bigger. Get some more treasure and go and ask him again. This time, they go back. They go to Balaam. And Balaam sees all of what they have. I mean, I got this picture in my mind that there was this little treasure chest full of jewels and more money than he has seen in his lifetime. Do you think that would be tempting? So he says, well, I need to pray about that again. Sounds spiritual, doesn't it? I need to pray about this, fellas. I need to go to the Lord and see what's going to happen. Now let me go ahead and just kind of give you the passages that are leading into this. What he does is he tells these guys, and we may cover it again in a minute. He tells the guys, don't leave. Y'all don't go. He's still sitting there probably with his eyes bugging out going, looking at that treasure, looking at that money, and greed set in. And he's still going. And then he's thinking, look, they're offering me this. These guys are offering, that could be mine. I mean, he's like foaming at the mouth. He's like, that could be in my bank account. That could be something I could spend. He says, fellas, I need to pray about this. Now, that doesn't sound as spiritual as it did the first time, does it? Because now there's another little something going on. In fact, he even told him, he said, don't y'all go away. Y'all spend the night. Let me go pray about it. and I'll come back. Don't leave. Don't leave. Oh, keep a good watch on that treasure. Keep a good watch on that money. Let me find out what it is that God is going to tell me to do. Have we ever been in those circumstances? You know, I halfway believe Balaam was saddling his donkey while he was praying. Because he had already made up in his mind what he was going to do. Have you ever done that with God? But see, you want to sound spiritual, so you want to go to God, and you want to say, Lord, am I doing the right thing? Because you've already made your mind up. Rather than saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? And here's the ironic part. Do you think God was going to change his mind in a matter of a few days? Do you think God was all of a sudden going to say, oh, it's perfectly all right for you to do that? No, he wasn't. Now, we get to that particular passage that most of us know and love, where we start to talk about what was going on and what was taking place. Look with me, if you would, Numbers chapter 22, and we're going to begin in verse 22, okay? It says, then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way of an adversary against him, and he was riding on his donkey, and the two servants were with him. Now, so what you have to understand is that he came back and said, I'm going to go with you. He went to God, and God finally says, all right, go ahead and go with him. Now, here is where most people get this story completely backwards. Here's where they begin to start to question God. Because they will sit back and say, why would God allow something to happen and then stand against it? Now, I said a moment ago, that is called God's permissive will. That is not God's perfect will. You know, and sometimes we've got to think. We've got to think about what we're doing. I laugh because it reminded me of this old comedian that was telling a story one time, and he said he saw a guy that was getting ready to jump down in this well that was about 100 feet deep. And he went over to the man. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm getting ready to go in the well. He said, why are you going in the well? Why are you going to jump in this well? And he said, well, because I dropped my Bic lighter down it. And the man looked for a moment, and he said, y'all remember a Bic lighter? You know what I'm talking about? Cheap, you know? He said, I dropped my Bic lighter down this well. And the guy said, look, man, he goes, if I was you, I don't think I would jump in this 100-foot well for a Bic lighter. And the man looked at him and he said, I just bought that Bic. And the guy's like, oh, what? By all means, go ahead. I thought it was an old Bic. Yeah, I think that sometimes what happens is we use those sorts of justification in the presence of God to try to get God around to our way of thinking instead of us coming around to his way of thinking. God already knew that Balaam had a problem, and his problem at that point was greed. Have you ever tried to talk somebody out of something that had already made up their mind in what they were going to do? Whether it was right, wrong, indifferent, or otherwise, they made their mind up. I've seen that before with people. They'd say, hey, look, man, I want you to come look at this car with me. Yeah, it'd be like me sitting back saying, well, Jimmy, how about coming and looking at a car with me? The man was a mechanic for 40-some years, not counting the time that he wasn't just employed as a mechanic. He knows what he's talking about. So I take Jimmy with me, and I go look at this car, and Jimmy's like, Jimmy's sitting there going, man, there's so many things wrong with this. It needs a new transmission. Yeah, it needs new timing, belts or chains or whatever they're using today. It needs all these different things. And I'm sitting there going, you just don't want me to have this, do you, Jimmy? I thought you were my friend. Well, I don't care what the 40-year mechanic says. That baby's coming home with me. Have you done that? We've all done that at some point in our life. And see, all of a sudden, when we get home, all of what Jimmy told me happens. The differential's jacked up. The U-joint breaks, it needs a new transmission, and then I'm mad at the car. And I might even be mad at Jimmy. Jimmy, you are my friend. Why did you not stop me from buying that car? He's going, I did. Yeah, at some point, you get to the point where you're going to do what you're going to do regardless of who says what. And that includes God. So you know what God says? Jump on in. I didn't realize it was a new BIC. Go for it. God's permissive will. So where we've gotten to these scriptures is all of a sudden, Balaam is on his way to go curse Israel for King Balak. This is a prophet of God. It doesn't make sense, does it? But you know what? All the while, guess what he's thinking about? Is he thinking about what's right? Is he thinking about what is spiritual? No. You know what he's thinking about? That treasure. He's thinking about that money. He's thinking about what he will gain. He's plotting and planning. How can I get the treasure and yet not violate God's word or God's will? So he's on his way. He jumps on his donkey. And that verse 22 says this. It says, God's anger was aroused because he went and the angel of the Lord took his stand. See, here's where people have the problem. People have the problem saying, well, God told him he could go, so why is God angry with him? Because that's not what God wanted him to do. See, we got to remember that there's something that's required along the way. It's called our obedience. God's not going to bless you on the path that you chose rather than the one that he chose. He's like, go ahead. That's what you want to do. Your eyes are bulging out of your head because of this treasure. Go on. But he's angry. Verse 22 tells us God was angry because he went and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding his donkey, and the two servants were with him. Now, verse 23 says, now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey and turned her back onto the road. Now, again, get the picture. Get the understanding of what's going on. They're riding along. Balaam's mind's going. He's got the other two servants that are carrying the treasure. And all of a sudden, the donkey sees this angel. Now, I've said this many, many times. I believe that this was a fierce-looking angel. I believe that this was one that you don't mess with. It's kind of like, I don't think I want to mess with this guy. But Balaam didn't see him. The donkey did. So what did the donkey do? The donkey's walking along. Donkeys are stubborn, but they're not stupid. This donkey sees this fierce angel, and he says, I'm going this way. I'm not approaching that. I'm not walking that way. Balaam didn't see it. Balaam is trying to get his donkey back on the path, headed straight for the angel. It says that he gets off and he whips that donkey. Now, sometimes they need a good punch in the mouth because they're stubborn. That donkey, he's trying to get her back on the road, according to verse 23. Then verse 24 says, then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a small wall on this side and a wall on that side. Verse 25, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Once again, now the angel's narrowed the scope. They're kind of walking through this area, and that donkey's like, uh-oh. Have you ever done that before? You all of a sudden, and you really don't want to get near somebody, and you just kind of flatten out up against the wall to get around or whatever. It's kind of where you're doing this number. Well, that's what the donkey did. The problem is Balaam was riding on it and his foot was there, so he crushed Balaam's foot against the side. Balaam has a fit once again because he still has not seen the warrior angel. And he gets off once again and he strikes this donkey. Notice the latter part of verse 25. It says, you crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then verse 26, then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or either to the left. Have you noticed the progression? At first, it was wide. Then it became more narrow. Now it is to the point where there is no way to get around it. You're going to have to go through it. Verse 20. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she laid down under Balaam. That donkey said, nope. I ain't going. I've already tried to go this way. I've already tried to avoid it. Now I can't go to the left or to the right, so guess what I'm going to do? I'm going no further. I'm just going to lay down. I'm just going to sit down. Now, I don't know, Mr. Carl, he used to work in mules. When they decide to lay down, they can get pretty stubborn, can't they? That one was going nowhere. She's like, nope, not happening. So what does Balaam, remember, he is on his way to treasure. He is on his way to riches. He is on his way to all these wonderful, wonderful things. And this donkey is getting in his way, or so he thinks. The donkey. Why? What is wrong with this donkey? I ain't never had this problem out of you before. Why are you acting so crazy? Verse 27, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she laid down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Now he's going to get off, and he's going to smack it around a little bit. He takes that staff, and he starts whipping that donkey because she's laid down. Now here's the interesting, but this is the part that everybody gets. This is the part where every preacher preaches this passage. Verse 28 says, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? The donkey talked. I'm talking audibly, y'all. I mean, yeah, like I said, a Shrek moment. A talking donkey. I mean, I've said this before. That would surprise me. If you went out and all of a sudden you're petting this donkey and he's like, could you scratch a little bit behind my ears? Would that freak you out? In real life, it wouldn't me. I'd be like, what's going on here? So the donkey starts to plead her case and says, and notice the question, verse 28. What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? What you hitting me for? Now, verse 29 goes even a little bit further. It gets even more out there, and here's why. Because not only was it weird that the donkey was talking, it gets even weirder because Balaam answers the donkey. Answers the question, look, and Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me, yeah, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. Balaam's going to kill this donkey that's been loyal to him, that has been his beast of burden for all these years. He is even answering it back. He's not shocked at all that the donkey's talking. That should tell you where his frame of mind was at that point. It was completely out there. He tells that donkey, if I had a sword, I would kill you. So then the donkey talks back in verse 30. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you? And he said, no. Now the donkey is reasoning with him, and he's reasoning with the donkey. Have I ever done this before? Balaam's like, well, no. Still having a conversation. Verse 31. Then the Lord opens Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. See, now all of a sudden, Balaam's getting the picture. Balaam's getting the picture. He's beginning to see what he should have seen before. He's beginning to see with some spiritual eyes. All of a sudden, the donkey's not so bad. In fact, the donkey saved his life. It says, the angel of the Lord said to him, verse 32, why have you struck down or why have you struck your donkey these three times? Now the angel's getting in on the action. How come you beating that donkey? The angel's asking him, why are you smacking the donkey around? Why are you beating him these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave you with these thoughts for a moment, because I'm going to come back and finish this up next week, because we're out of time. We're just getting started and we're out of time. Now, what's happening is the angel has appeared. Finally, Balaam sees it, and the angel is testifying to him, I am standing in your way. Now, when we think about angels, we think about something separate from Jesus, but this right here, it shows us a couple of things. Number one, this angel of the Lord is Jesus. You know, remember it says, as we go forward, you're going to see that Balaam falls down to worship, and he's not told to get back up. You know why? See, well, any time that somebody would fall down to worship an angel, the angel would be like, no. You don't worship me. You get up. You worship the Father. That's who you worship. Never. We don't see in this passage where Balaam is told to get on his feet. No. This is the angel of the Lord. This is Jesus himself that is standing in the way. And we'll cover that more as we get into next week. But you're getting the picture. Now, here's what I want you to understand for today. Too many times our focus gets off of what God wants us to do because Satan dangles riches in our favor. He puts it out there and says, you can be this or you can be that. The question is, what are we doing? Are we being pious and saying, well, Lord, let me pray about it? Like I said, I believe that Balaam already made his mind up what he was going to do. I believe he was probably already saddling his donkey up when he was like, let me go pray about this. Kind of like the preacher that time when he was offered a new church, and his wife said, well, honey, don't you think you ought to pray about it? He said, yes, ma'am, I really do. He said, you start packing, I'm going to go pray about it. You start packing, I'm going to, you know why? He's already made his mind up, and some of us have done that. And then what happens is when God gets out, he allows us to walk down that road that we shouldn't be going on, his permissive will. But along the way, he tries to stop us and turn us around. He tries to get us to see the light, to not continue to go in that direction. Yeah, it's kind of like that comedian said a moment ago, oh, go ahead and jump. I thought it was an old Bic. Yeah, sometimes God's allowing us to go down that road because he knows that he might as well save his breath, because we're not going to do it. We've already made our mind up. How many things have you already made your mind up? See, when I took Jimmy to go see my car, I already made my mind up. I was getting it. What was the sense in even taking Jimmy with me? Because I wasn't going to listen to the reason that he was going to say to me. I wasn't going to listen to the certified, tenured mechanic who spent a lifetime working on it. Why would I listen to him? This is what I want. And see, we do that with God. And see, to answer that question to my friend this past week, he's sitting there saying, well, God told him to go. No, God allowed him to go. There's a difference between the two. How many things and paths are we on that we're on because God has allowed us to be on them? Not because that's where he wanted us to be. Remember what I said as I started this message? I said, how many times have we ever gotten into a circumstance, a situation where we said, how did I get here? How on earth did I get in this place? You know how? You chased some things. You chased some greed. You chased something that you shouldn't. You've jumped in the well over the Bic lighter. And what happens is Balaam looks like a real man of God. He was a prophet. Took time to pray about the situation, but he had already had his mind made up. You see, next week we're going to look at continuing this look at Balaam, because there's a couple things, and I'm just going to go ahead and lay them out for you. There were several things that caused Balaam to be where he was, and those same things haunt you and I today. There's greed. There's compromise. There's betrayal, and there's corruption. And that is what had infiltrated Balaam. He was a prophet, man. We're going to look at those points as we go forward. But I got to get you caught up to speed with what's going on. Got to get you caught up to what's happening. Because now all of a sudden, we don't feel quite as sorry for Balaam, do we? We're not sitting back going, well, that was just not fair on God's part because God told him he could go. He was going anyway. Did you get that? You know why? Because that treasure was more than he had ever seen. That money was more than he had ever seen. So all of a sudden, he just tried to make it look spiritual. How many of us could turn our backs and go in the other direction when the world dangles out a fortune in front of you? It's hard to walk away, isn't it? Let me tell you something. Satan makes it so enticing to follow him. He makes it look so worth it because even Balaam, on his journey, he's still probably trying to think how he can straddle the fence. Folks, it's time to quit straddling the fence. God said there is no such thing as a fence. You're either for me or you are against me. You're either going to follow my word and my will or you're not. There's no middle ground. And yet we try to manipulate and we try to orchestrate in our favor. And let me make you a promise. God already knows where your heart is. God already knows what's taking place in here. So I guess this morning my biggest question at this point, as we're looking at Balaam and his donkey, at this point, my question is, are you operating in the perfect will of God or are you operating in the permissive will of God? Are you saddling your donkey to head to do something that you already know God doesn't want? Do you think God was going to be agreeable for Balaam to curse Israel? Come on, man. Listen, I know it's the Old Testament, but remember, God said, those who bless Israel, I will bless. Those who curse Israel, I will curse. And here's a prophet of God supposedly taking a contract to go curse Israel. I may not be a smart man, as Forrest Gump would say, but even I can figure that one out. But he was enticed. He was tempted. He was greedy. Are we that way today? My question for this morning, because there will be other questions that follow, is simply this. Whose path are you on? Yeah, don't get mad at the donkey. Don't get mad at the donkey when the donkey is trying to get you in the right direction. Don't get mad at the donkey when the donkey steps out. I jotted this down. I said, by the way, don't be the donkey that decides to talk to you. It may well be God getting your attention. Got any talking donkeys in your life right now? See, you may not see the angel that's getting ready to take you out, but some talking donkey may be carrying you off of the path of destruction. And you know what we do? We get mad at it. Let me give you an example, and then I'm going to close this out this morning. How many times have we gotten mad in a circumstance? This is not the way I thought it was. This is not the way that I wanted it to be. Only to find out that it was God putting you where he wanted you to be. Maybe it was a situation of the donkey protecting you because you were heading down the wrong path. Remember what this passage says. This passage, the angel tells Balaam, if you would have gotten close, I was going to kill you. I was going to take you out. You beaten this donkey, and this donkey has saved your life. Are we beating the donkey that's saving our life this morning? Maybe it's time for us to back up. Don't beat the donkey. Start praying and start looking around. Because you notice what it said? It said, then Balaam's eyes were opened up, and he saw before him the angel of the Lord. See, too many times we can get blind. We can get tunnel vision, can't we? We can get blinders on. Have you ever had tunnel vision? Where all you can see is this and you don't see anything that's going on in the periphery, period. And there's a lot of interesting and important things that are going on in the periphery. As a police officer, that was one of the things that they told us. When you get in a stressful situation, you will get tunnel vision. And your tunnel vision, it has you focused on something that something just a little bit outside of it could be a tremendous danger to you. I'm sure they taught you that as a soldier. And not only that, you experienced it in real life. And when you did for the first time, it was like, wow. Never had that before. Because we were focused on this one thing. See, Balaam was focused so much on the treasure that he wasn't worried about what was not only against what God would want, but what also was in the way, stopping him from doing something that he shouldn't. I think we need to pray that God will open our eyes. When our donkey takes us off of the path, and the donkey ain't never done that before, what's the matter with it? That's what we say. What's the matter with this fool donkey? He never done this before. It's time to start looking around. Like I said, I grew up in the country, and there was something I realized as well because I rode some horses in my day. And you ever noticed riding a horse, and all of a sudden that horse starts getting weirded out? I noticed that before, but here's what I learned. I learned to pay attention to the fact that that horse was weirding out. You know what I usually found? That just up ahead on the path was a snake. Because that horse didn't like that snake. That horse knew that snake was there. I didn't see it. And yet that horse is sitting there going, starting that backup thing. I'm like, this is not normal for this. Listen, when the horse starts doing weird things, start looking around. Animals got a real keen sense. Matter of fact, Balaam's donkey could talk. That's a real keen sense. Y'all beating on your donkey this morning that's trying to keep you from being something God don't want you to be? Step back, pray, and start looking for God's answers. And when you find them, and you will, because if you seek, you'll find, don't try to manipulate God. When you find those answers, you may not like those answers. You still need to follow what God's will is. When you do that, you'll win 100% of the time. Not half, 100% of the time, you win. So I'm going to ask our musicians if they would make their way to the front because we're going to have our time of invitation. Like I said, I'm not done talking about Balaam yet, but I'm done talking about him for today because we could be here all day. But now you're starting to understand because, I've been asked that question many, many times. They're like, well, why did God let him go if God didn't want him to go? Because God's not going to force you to do anything. But let me promise you, there's a price to pay when you don't listen to what God has to say. There's a tremendous price to pay. Now, he'll send you some talking donkeys. You better listen to them because if you come into contact with the angel before you get the word from the donkey, you're done. You're done. Remember what the angel said, I was going to kill you. Your donkey saved your life. Are you seeing now? So my question, first of all, is have you turned your life over to the Lord? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the one who is ruling you? Or are you trying to manipulate something? Have you confessed your sin before him and said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my life. Save my soul. Have you done that? If not, today is the day. Today is the time. And you can do that by simply bowing your head and saying, oh God, today I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. And folks, if you cry out to the Lord in that manner with your heart, I promise you, he will save your soul. Now it's about following his will, doing his will his way, not your will his way, or not, neither of those. You got to do it his way. God's will, God's way. Are you doing that? See, many of us today have just realized that we're beating our donkey, the donkey that's trying to save us. Today, you're stepping back to pray. So my prayer for you today is, Lord, help me to see what's in front of me. Help me to follow you. Help me to be in your word. Help me not to be greedy and manipulative. Father, I surrender all to you today that I might be used for your kingdom. Even when it's what I don't want or what I don't like, God, help me be an instrument in your hands. Spare me and save me in Jesus' name. Listen, have you prayed that prayer today? Have you needed to turn back to the Father? What is it that you need to do? I'm going to ask that where we are, we just stand. We're going to be led in our invitation to him. I'll be down front if you need to speak with me, if you need me to pray for you. If you've made a decision for the Lord, please let us know. If you're part of our online audience, listen, just let Dr. Cazito know. Look, I trusted Jesus as my Savior today. we're not trying to harass anyone. We want to celebrate with you. We want to send you some material to help get you started on your walk with our Savior. Man, what a great day that is. Some of us today realize we're beating our talking donkey, and it's time for us to come back to the presence of the Father. We'll talk more about that next week. But for right now, what's God put on your heart? Are you walking in His will? Are you walking in His way? As we worship Him in our time of invitation, if you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. You respond to God's call in your life. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. God is good. Let me let you be seated for just a second because I got some folks I want to introduce to you. Come on up here, guys. Some of you all, there's no introduction needed because David and Stephanie were here 10 years ago. I think 10 years ago or so, the journey carried them out to the Northwest and then to the Southwest, Midwest, Southwest, and everywhere. They've been everywhere, like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, man. They are back in this area. David is teaching in the Rockingham County school system, and the Lord has led them back to be a part of our church. They have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. They have followed in believers' baptism by immersion, and they are coming to us today by statement of faith. Do I hear a motion that they be received? Is there a second? All those who rejoice in their coming signify by saying a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is so, it's a pleasure. Give them a hand.
We love you.
This one was just so tiny when they left. I think she was still in diapers when she left here. And I got to embarrass you a little bit. But she's grown so much, and it is a pleasure to have them back with us at Central Baptist to serve the Lord, and we look forward to that particular day. I'm going to let them, if y'all would walk back, y'all have just been old home folk forever. I'll just let y'all walk back to the entrance so you'll have a chance to let folks greet you here in just a few moments when we dismiss. to circle myself back up around here because there's still some business to take care of, as the old boy says. How pointed was our invitation to him today? Open our eyes. That's exactly what God did to Balaam. He opened his eyes that we might truly see what the Lord wants us to do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask at this time our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to him. And as always, if you're part of our online audience, you can continue to maintain your tithe and offering through our website at www.oakridgecbc.org. There is a giving tab there. Don't forsake this. It's not because of keeping things going, but God wants to bless you. God wants to do some incredible things in your life as you are faithful to him concerning the tithe and the offering. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, you're good to us. You have provided for us in so many ways that we can't even begin to imagine at this particular point. Lord, I pray that you will help us to be faithful to give back to you that portion that you have so, so richly blessed us with. And then, Lord, may your kingdom be enhanced in advance because of our faithfulness. And, Lord, may you do some incredible things that teach us that you cannot outgive God. Bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we go, just want to let folks know that is it today your birthday, Bill, or is it next Sunday? It is today. Y'all be sure to hug on him and love him all up and everything else before he gets out of this door. Bill Eatman celebrates his birthday today. He's the only one that we have listed for this week, only anniversaries we have listed for this week. So be sure to let Bill know that you're going to be celebrating with him this week as we go forward. Just a couple quick things. Trunk or treat is when? Monday. Sunday. Next Sunday. Okay. Be in spot at 5:40. I think we're starting at like 6 o'clock. So be in your spots out here. We'd love to have you be a part of that. Let us know if you can do that. Don't shy away from it. Also, youth lock-in at 6 o'clock this coming weekend. We'll start here at the church at 6 o'clock. And we're going to be looking, depending on how weather goes, we're looking to do us a hayride and then enjoy some time being together here at the church. So is there anything I've forgotten meeting-wise or anything? I know there's a whole lot going on. Don't forget, tonight, Awana, 5:30. 5:30 is our normal time for Awana, youth at 6 o'clock. And Continue to pray for each and every one of us as we discover what a new normal is, and we haven't found that out yet. But at any rate, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and we look forward to seeing folks. I believe David will have Bible study tonight. Youth will be tonight at 6 o'clock as well. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you again for the opportunity to gather in your name, and Lord, for examples that we can understand. Father, thank you for Balaam and a talking donkey to get our attention in the same way that you got his attention through this incident. I pray that today, Lord, we will draw close to you, that you will open our eyes that we might see you, that we might be about your business, your way. Help us, Lord, as we go away from this place to truly represent you in a way that's pleasing in your sight, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. We'll see you later.